morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host and garden expert, horticulturist, landscape designer, Teresa Watkins. Good morning, everyone. We're so glad you're joining us. I have my cup of tea. I hope you have a nice good morning beverage and you're with us for the first hour of Better Lawns and Gardens. Good morning, Lizzie.
Good morning. Yes, I tell you, I guess I just want to be just like you, Teresa. I got my cup of tea. All week I've been drinking tea. Like I've been drinking the orange teas, a little bit of lemon. And they actually have a lemon loaf. What is that? The sour cream cake. What is
yes.
That?
Oh, it's, that yeah, it's a lemon cake.
But yes.
Yeah, but it's I know the loaf. Do you have that in there?
Not today, but I did this week, and it was so good.
Tea just makes everything so much better. You know, whether you're trying to wake up or whether you're trying to, relax, tea hits the spot.
True.
A spot of tea. And I love that we can grow the tea plant here, which is a jasmine. And you can make your own tea. And they're actually looking at growing crops of Yaupon holly to make tea. Here, the University of Florida is researching it and growing it in certain areas to see if it can become a good crop for Florida. So that's really exciting. So your week was good?
Very good. Can't complain. How about you?
Oh, busy week, but just a lot of fun. We had grandparents stay at my granddaughter's elementary school yesterday. So we got to go sit in little chairs.
Goodness.
And so I'll be posting some photos of that later on my personal Facebook page.
Of you sitting in the little chairs? Please tell me you have those.
But a cold front came through this week. I don't know if everyone felt it, but it came down from the high 90s and low 100s. And the humidity from those 110, 112 temperatures to, we're going to be in the high 80s to mid 90s this week. And so there was a little bit of a change. And so I am looking so forward to that. It's just a little glimpse of fall coming up. And we're going to get some rain. We've had some good rain this week. We're going to continue to get rain throughout the week. Just shut your irrigation systems off. Too much water is not good for plants and can cause insect and disease issues. So, this week when you're getting an inch of rain for the week, that's all your plants and your grass need. And we literally have people, homeowners, using 5, 6, 7 inches of water a week. So, check your irrigation, check how often it's going on. You're only allowed in most counties in the state, in most water management districts, 1 inch of water a week, 2 times a week is all your plants need. And when you think about it, you only need to be watering like once a week. And just let that water go down a little bit deeper. So you can do that and you don't need to do it even twice a week or at all if you're getting an inch of rainfall.
Okay, that's good information. Yeah, because I always kind of wondered. I guess you could probably also check at your local ag, the website for your local ag center.
For what?
To find out how much you should be allowed to water in your area.
Yeah, you can check that. You can call your utility company, but it's just 2 times a week. They don't specify a time. And so, 25, 30 minutes calibrating your irrigation mm-hmm. is a great way to find out. You take a 7 to 8 tuna fish cans, dog food cans, cat food cans, mark 1 inch in the can, and then put it out in your zone, one zone, turn the sprinkler on, time how long it takes to fill that can to 1 inch. That's all you need to water.
Oh, that's good.
And so it may be different from your friends, your neighbors' houses, your friends, just because of the pressure, the types of irrigation systems. So we are one of those things that's very easy to control, and if you're paying for it, that's all the more important.
Oh, definitely.
You don't waste it. This is National Indoor Plant Week. It's always the third week of September, and so this year it's September 18th through the 24th. We know indoor plants clean the air. They provide oxygen. They relieve stress and create a relaxing ambiance inside our homes, reduces noise, removes carbon dioxide, and it brings nature into the home. So there is a houseplant for every need. If you want to add color inside your house, a great indoor plant is Calatheas. Calathea rosapicta rosy, that's the variety of prayer plant with symmetrical lines in different shades of green, silver, and pink. Beautiful color. The Stromantha triastar, we see it out in our landscapes, but it makes a great indoor plant too with lots of color with those red and white striped leaves, and it's just beautiful. Adding architectural flair, if you want to be really just bold and have a modern look, bromeliads are a really great choice, and the ZZ plant, which can grow in complete darkness. ZZ plant has really great architectural leaves. Looks lovely, shiny leaves. If you would like to add fragrance, Hoyas are a very great choice for indoor baskets or as your spiller over a container. And that's a Hoya carnosa. Crimson Queen is pink flowers. It's a vine, green and cream, and sometimes pink leaves. It is an epiphyte. It likes bright lights, and it's great for the pool area or an outdoor room. You want to put a tray. The flowers are very fragrant, and they literally drip that very sweet nectar.
Oh, wow.
And it just go up to it and just taste it. It's wonderful. Fall is approaching. We have tree leaves starting to change color. Autumn is one of my favorite seasons and one of the best times to plant trees in Florida. We have Dana Vendrick coming up. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. Fall is on its way, and we have Dana Venrick, one of our wonderful sponsors and with Quality Green Specialist Nursery in DeLand. Good morning, Dana. How are you?
Oh, good morning, Teresa. How are you? And Lizzie.
Yes, we are doing great here. Dana, after Idalia came through, it kind of seemed to pull a little bit of the cold air from up north, and the temperatures have been a little bit cooler, not a lot, but it's almost like you can taste fall coming. And we have some beautiful trees. I've been seeing the sycamore starting to turn yellow, the cypress trees are starting to turn red, and the sweet gums are starting to change to purple. How can somebody have fall in their landscape?
Gosh, you'll pick a few trees like red maple. There's some beautiful red maples that turn bright red, and then in the early part of the year, even January sometimes, they'll have red dried fruits they call samaras, or little helicopters that are just gorgeous that fall from the tree. You can use crepe myrtles. They have yellow, oranges, and reds as they drop their leaves.
I have some beautiful flowers. I have some beautiful photos of beautiful crepe myrtles that are orange. Yes.
Yes, and Schumard oak, that's a very, very hardy deciduous tree that turns bright colors. In the woods, you'll see turkey oaks that have a bright color. They're not too hardy for the dooryard, but they are beautiful if you see them along the wood line. Wild persimmons, I mean, they turn bright colors in the fall, and just regular persimmons. Mulberries actually turn a fantastic golden color when they lose their leaves in a late fall.
And one of the shrubs that I really like that is kind of like a small tree, very small tree, is the sumac.
I have some winged sumac, as a matter of fact. I'm looking at a couple right now. You know, they're dioecious. Male and female are on separate plants. But I have a couple that have just a beautiful cluster of bronze fruit or berries right now. And you can make tea out of them, delicious tea. Soak them in cold water overnight. And if you put a little honey, it's even better.
Oh, wow. And so I have some sumacs that I received. I bought them at your nursery, and they are just gorgeous. I love them. And that spot of red, when you're going down the highway, you can tell when you see the sumacs, you know, amongst the fir trees and the pine trees. It's just gorgeous. So
it's calming, you know, to see that.
It is. And so is this a good time of the year to be planting trees?
It is an excellent time for cold, hardy trees and plants. It's probably the best time along with spring because the sap is going down toward the roots right now as the days get shorter and it starts to get cooler. It's Mother Nature's way of preparing the top for that colder weather and also to promote a lot of root growth to prepare it for the spring flush. So it's an ideal time for many cold, hardy trees and plants.
And we're still getting...
If it's cold, tender, though, wait.
Yes, exactly. We're still getting the rainfall, so we still have the benefit of that through, you know, October, November. So, you know, yeah, I agree with you. Now, what about fruit trees? Can fruit trees be planted even if they're going dormant?
Well, absolutely, you know, because the roots are not going dormant. They'll be growing over the winter, you know. And so that way they grow out better, and you have a better tree, a better plant in the spring. But a lot of things you can do that, like mulberries, for example, persimmons, some of the others that you could plant.
The apple trees, is there apples and peaches can be planted this time of the year?
Absolutely. Peaches and also all types of citrus. Actually, it's a good time for citrus, too.
And so when we're talking about planting trees in, you know, in our yards, in our backyards, what about the soil? You know, I've heard, you know, you should rototill, you know, your areas or you should not. What is your best advice?
Well, that's my least favorable way to rototill because you disturb the colonies of microorganisms in the soil and the structure of the soil. You know, you want to start early when you prepare a garden. The best garden I ever had, actually, I started the summer before with solarizing, adding organic, digested organic amendments so you keep your carbon-nitrogen ratio favorable, like earthworm castings or volcanic pumice, things like the composted chicken or cow manure like black cow or, you know, red hen, something like that, or anything, you know, that's digested. Like compost, good compost, like we have
right.
Potting soil.
Now what about what about mushroom compost?
I don't like that very much. You know, it doesn't cost much, but you know, most of the nutrients have been taken out by the mushrooms, and it's got a high salt index. So use it very judiciously, very low amount.
Oh, that's good to know.
After you add all these things, I would add a little potassium magnesium sulfate because of the leaching of the summer rains. Those are highly soluble along with nitrogen. And then after you do those amendments, make a soil test. And then you can really have a great garden because you've got everything in place. You've got your organics, you've got your drainage and organics. But then you know exactly what's low or what you don't need to add at that point. A lot of times you don't need too much phosphorus because of all the things you've added. If you do need phosphorus, then you need to do that as well, you know, based on the soil test.
Right.
But that's the key. And then you can put a little fertilizer a couple weeks before you plant, very lightly, then follow up with side dressing after they come up in a couple of weeks.
That's great. And so how should a hole be dug then for a tree?
Well, I like to dig a hole shallow. You know, the lazy way is the best way because you don't want the thing to sink down too deep. A lot of people think you need to dig a hole to China. Well, that's too far.
Uh-huh.
You want to dig it just as deep as the root ball or slightly less deep. And that way it'll sink a little and it'll end up. The key is that first lateral root or the root flare should be just at the surface when it's all said and done after you mudded it in. You put your berm around it, you know, and watered it in well, filled the basin up with water. Then every 2 days for 2 weeks, you want to soak it make sure that root ball is saturated. That's one really good reason to make that berm around the root ball, so that the water has to soak that root ball. And you know when the bubbles stop coming up that it's been saturated.
That's great to know. And so then how often should you be watering the tree after that?
Well, water it twice a week, two times a week, until it starts to get cooler, right, in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't do it yet, but, you know, it'll be in another month or so. The weather will be so moderate, you can cut back to once a week, you know, just sort of like daylight saving time. When you go back to regular time,
mm-hmm.
it's a good time, you know, to coincide with the watering schedules.
Okay, and so then you mentioned fertilizing, putting fertilizer into the ground and working it in a few weeks before, but should they fertilize when they plant the tree?
If you do, you don't want to act like it's like you're lightly salting the steak just a little bit and mixed in with your backfill and your soil and your amendments like potting soil or compost. And don't overdo it. I have so many people that just overdo it. If you have like a 3-gallon tree, only put a couple of shovelfuls. Don't put a whole bag. Mm-hmm. And then because you mess up your carbon to nitrogen ratio and it does more harm than good and could cause also a fungal or, you know, water mold, fungal rots.
Right. And what about adding azomite or other minerals to the ground?
That is one of our keys. We've found that the volcanic pumice is very beneficial in two ways. We're getting available silicon, which is, by many soil scientists, you know, the second most important element after available carbon. So we put both of those, in fact, in our fertilizer. Available carbon is humic and fulvic acid, and available silicon is silicon dioxide, plus all the trace minerals. So you're not lacking. You don't have any missing elements. And so that does wonders, but it stops fungus. It stops the nematodes because it deposits a glassy or silicaceous layer all over the plant, including the roots. And plus, it promotes the explosion of microbial life, the beneficial, for example, predatory nematodes that feed on the parasitic nematodes. We've eliminated nematodes in big fields of tomatoes, and so we know that it works.
That's great. And so tell us what's blooming right now at Quality Green Specialist in the land.
Oh, we have some beautiful blooming plants right now. Like we have pentas, we have periwinkles, avincas, celosia. We all beautiful firebush, just full of blooms and also full of butterflies and hummingbirds and all types of, beneficials. And yellow lantana, that is gorgeous right now. Butterfly pea, it has blue flowers. You can make a great tea out of that, too. It's used for natural dyes.
I did not know that.
And the young, you know, seeds are edible. Delicious. Yeah, it's Clitoria herniatea.
And so these are all like 3 gallons or 6-inch pots, but then you also have...
Right,
mm-hmm,
3 gallons.
But your fruit trees, do you have persimmons and then mulberries too as well?
We do. We have a wide selection of all types of fruit trees, like citrus, persimmons, pecans, chestnuts, the Dunston chestnut, the figs, several varieties of mulberries, peaches, nectarines, plums, grapes, blueberries even, feijoa, the pineapple guava.
That's beautiful.
So you just have a feast, you know, like a feast of plants to choose from.
Your nursery must be a wildlife buffet. You must see lots of birds at your nursery.
Absolutely. The other day I saw, you know, a pileated woodpecker back in the wooded area, and some of the orchids are blooming. There's a gorgeous orchid I'm looking at right now, and a couple blooming right now out on our little native trail.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Which you have to see.
Dana, so tell everyone where they can come see that blooming orchid and pick up a great tree like the olives or the persimmons.
Absolutely. We're at 335 West Michigan Avenue. QualityGreenSpecialist.com is online, and our phone number is 386-734-8000. We're open every day, 9 to 4, and we look forward to seeing you.
Thank you so much, Dana. Have a great weekend. I'm Teresa Watkins from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. This is the perfect time for you to get your gardening questions answered. And you can call 1-888-455-2967 or you can text me at 23680. Got a lot of text messages up there. Lizzie, Linda from Zone 8, we're going to get to all of them. And if you would like to listen to the show on podcast, you can go to our iHeart radio station. And you can hear it on everywhere where podcasts are played. You can listen to Better Lawns and Gardens. So I want to thank Dana Venrick for coming on. If you have not been to his nursery, he has a wonderful nursery. Everything is so nice and clean, and the trees are just beautiful. So make sure you check that out in DeLand, Quality Green Specialist Nursery. So we have, Linda from Zone B. 8B, she said, do you have suggestions for planting seeds in pots and edible perennials? Yes, I do, Linda. So it's important when you're planting seeds that you keep the seed packet that you've used. Now, usually when I plant seeds, I'm planting 10, 15, 20. But if you're only using 5 or 6 of the seeds, then you just bundle up the seeds and keep the packet, and you can keep it in a cool container when you can use it for the next season. If it's tomatoes, if you do them in the fall, then you can do them in the springtime again. So keep the seed packet because that's got really good information on it. You want to, when starting seeds, don't use clay pots. Use plastic pots or seed trays. And what that does is the clay will wick the water away from the seed, wick it out of the soil. And so you want that soil to hold on to moisture. So, use plastic pots. That's the best thing. When you plant the seed on the packet, it will tell you how deep to plant it. If your seed packet doesn't, then Google the seed, the name of the variety of vegetable or edible or flower, and put seeds planting depth, and it will tell you how deep to plant it. You don't want to plant it too deep. You want to make sure that the sunlight can get through and that it germinates. And then also, too, you want to, when you're planting it, not too deep, but you want to make sure it has good contact with the soil. Sometimes the soil particles can create a little layer or an air layer, and we just drop the seed on the soil or in the little hole, and it doesn't make contact with the soil particles. So make sure that it's touching, and then you can sprinkle lightly soil over it, very lightly, and just kind of tamp it down lightly with your fingers, and then that way it'll make good contact. Now, if you're worried about your plants aren't coming up, again, the seed packet's going to tell you how long it takes to germinate. And by germinate, I mean, when should you start seeing leaves coming up, that the seed's sprouting? And for different varieties of plants or different species of vegetables, it takes a little bit different time frames. And so when we were planting our tomatoes and peppers, all our tomatoes came up within a week. We're starting to see all the leaves for the tomatoes starting to grow. But our peppers did not come up at all. And Tony was thinking that, they're not germinating. They're not coming up. They're not going to grow. But within 10 to 12 days, the peppers had started to germinate. And so now they're all coming up and doing really well. So on the seed packet, it will take how many days to germinate. And then that way you want to, again, note that in a journal, in your on an area where you can keep it, a book that you can keep so that you can look back on it and say, oh, I'm okay. It's going to take 4 or 5 more days for those seeds to come up. And so those are my tips, Linda, for planting seeds in pots and in containers. And this is a great time of the year to do it. So thank you for that question. I really appreciate it. And so then we have someone else who said, what did Dana say to use on nematodes? He referenced a field of tomatoes that was rid of nematodes. And thank you so much, Teresa and Lizzie. Really appreciate all you do. Well, thank you for listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. Yay us, Lizzie.
We have the best listeners. Literally the best.
Yeah. And so, you know, so for the growers that are growing, the farmers, the ag nurseries that are growing crops, they are able to use a different nematode control that is a little bit more potent that homeowners can't use. But there are now nematode products on the markets for homeowners. And so one of them is Monterey Nematode Control. Monterey Nematode Control. And then there's also a product called Growers Trust, and it's called Nematode Control. Growers Trust. You can find these at garden nurseries, garden centers. I'm sure Dana at Quality Green Specialist has some products for you too as well. And these use a nematode control, an oil called geranol, G-E-R-I-A-N-O-L, geranol. And it's oil that is made from geraniums, from the leaves and the stem. And this oil reduces and prevents nematodes from spreading and from getting, you know, getting out of hand. So, but the best way that you can control for nematodes is making sure that you have really good organic amendments in your soil. Nematodes like to have dry, sandy soils. They thrive in those conditions. And so by adding organic amendments to your raised beds, you know, using good potting soil that's got a lot of nutrition in it and moisture control, and then also in your ground, if you're creating a little garden bed, adding organic amendments to that, you're going to reduce the susceptibility to nematodes. And then there's nematodes, root nematodes that you can get from the ground that happens after 7, 8, 9 years. And so when that happens, go ahead and just get rid of the shrub and just start anew, again, amending that area, the entire garden bed, with organic material. So great question. Thank you so much. And so you can do that. Nematode control, you can get that at your garden centers and online. Maybe the easiest way to do it, garden centers and also your box stores and anywhere that sells products for the landscape will have it now because it is available to homeowners right now. So we have, if you'd like to give us a garden question, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. Love to hear your success stories or, you know, or your garden questions either way. Eileen, hold on. We're going to get right to you. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you have a gardening question, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Let's go to Eileen in Polk City. Good morning, Eileen. Thank you for holding on.
Oh, you're welcome, Lady Goddess of Gardening. That's your new name.
That's my new name. Oh, my goodness. Yes, my husband, I can't wait to hear him say that.
Your husband what?
I can't wait to hear my husband say that.
Okay. Have you ever seen a black woodpecker?
Yes.
We have one.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because, you know, we have 8 different varieties of woodpeckers in Florida, including the cockaded woodpecker, the pileated woodpecker, which is the cockaded one, and then also the downy woodpecker, the yellow belly sapsucker, and flickers. But what you're seeing when you're seeing a black, and it probably had a little bit of white on it, right?
Right.
Okay. The ones that don't have any red on them are the females.
Oh.
Only the males have the red patches on their top of their heads.
Okay. That's nice to know.
Yes. Very easy way to tell the boys from the girls.
Okay. Now I got it. I'll keep that in mind.
All right.
Now, my prayer plant.
Yes.
I keep it out on the porch, but I can move it in the house now.
Okay.
Because I've been yelling at Bob, you can't put it in the sun. It doesn't need any sun. Don't give it any sun.
Yes.
And he's like, listen, the blinds can come up sometimes. And I'm like, don't you put the blinds up on my prayer plant. Don't put it in the sun. So he will be happy to hear that it's going in the house now.
Wonderful. That's good because, you know, southwestern exposure is a little bit too much sun for the prayer plants.
That's why I've been yelling at him for months.
Yeah.
Don't put it in the sun.
Well, if it comes inside the house, that'll be good. But you know what? My dad's wife, she had prayer plants in the ground, and they got full sun, and they were fine. They just adapted to it. So it just kind of depends on what variety of prayer plant it is. It makes a great ground cover if you've got partial shade, which could be morning sun, but afternoon shade. That real intense heat of the summer afternoon is not good for prayer plants or calatheas.
No, I'm not going to, no, because I've seen it just shrivel up in the hot sun, and that's why I've been yelling at him, you know, put the blinds down on the porch, I'm going to kill you.
poor guy. Well, bring it inside and make his life, you know, a little bit easier.
Compromise.
That's good.
Come on now. what he puts me through sometimes. No.
Oh, that's wonderful, Eileen. Well, thank you so much. That was a great question on the woodpeckers. I love seeing them downtown, so I'm glad that you have one. That's a female. All right, so now you can name her. All right, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. And so Howard in Apopka said his father used lime in the hole when he transplanted his tomato starts. He said it helped with nematodes. His garden was mainly Florida sand supplemented by fertilizers. And he said he was not sure how effective it was or if it was worth doing. Yeah, lime doesn't do anything for nematodes because the state of Florida is lime, basically.
I was going to go, was your father winking at the same time that it's going to wink, wink, take care of nematodes? And have you dug up to see if there's a body underneath that?
But, you know, we have so much lime in the state of Florida and we mine it. And so it doesn't help with nematodes. But if you didn't get them and you had great tomatoes, that's wonderful. So, you know, it didn't hurt anything. So I appreciate that little note. That's wonderful. You know, our parents all do little traditions that, you know, in gardening that this works here. And you know, my father always did this. And it's just maybe just a coincidence that it seemed to help when we do these little things. A lot of garden myths that are out there that are not true.
Well, and also my thing is doesn't it seem like plants, I mean, you know how animals can feel you?
Yes.
I also feel that sometimes plants can feel how you're feeling to an extent. So if you're putting something like a friend of mine used to put the guts of the fish whenever they would go fishing in their garden, and they would have a gorgeous garden.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that has something to do with it, but it made them so happy to do that maybe the perspective maybe helped the situation.
I think so. I you know, there are some islands in tribal areas in Caribbean and in Africa that they go up to a tree and yell at it. And they can kill a tree that way. They just go up and scream.
See, I've seen that on those reels where people are like, take a plant, put it over here, yell at it, cuss at it, do whatever, and then take one on the other side of the room or in another room and talk sweet to it, and it's like it automatically died, the one that, you know?
When I used to work at a box store at the very beginning of my career, and, you know, again, it's very hard to keep plants growing in a nursery or even in a box store. It just is. It's just not a growing environment. You want to bring the plants in and sell them very quickly, and that's the way the plants still continue to look good. But sometimes the plants, you know, would get a little stressed, and people go, oh, that looks bad. Oh, look at this plant. This looks bad. And I would just go right behind them. I'm going, okay, plant, you're going to be just fine. Somebody's going to buy you today. You're going to get home. Don't listen to them. You're going to make it. You're going to be a success. I mean, I was just hearing all this negative, you know, comments, you know, just, you know, it's not good for people. It's not good for plants.
I'm always calling my dog Mad Dogs, and everybody gets on to me. But I'm like, no, they don't understand it. I say it in a positive way.
You say it with a smile, you can say anything,
right? I pet them. I'm like, oh, you guys are such bad dogs.
So then Howard texted back, and he said he never had a good crop of tomatoes. So I think we're just going to kick the lime garden myth to the curb there.
Okay, all right, okay. There you go.
Thank you, Howard. That's wonderful. I love it. So there you go. So 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. What should you be doing right now? Well, the plants that you need to be growing right now need to be able to take the cold weather. If you're starting to think about planting a fall vegetable garden, you can be planting arugula. It comes up within about 8 days. Our arugula looks lovely. Broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, celery, collards, endive, lettuce, mustard, onions, radishes, strawberries, and turnips. You want to plant neeps and tatties. And so you can be planting turnips right now. And so those are great vegetables for good hearty meals during the wintertime. You know, your stews and your all different kinds of, you know, soups that you can make with those wonderful, delicious, you know, vegetables, onions. I could eat onions 3 times a day. You have to grow lots of onions. And so growing vegetables is good. If you have children or grandchildren coming, it's a great way to introduce them to gardening and where our food comes from. That's very important. It's just, we just don't go to the store and buy it. Somebody has to grow it.
Yes.
And so I was in Lake County yesterday, and the farms are sterilizing their soils now, whole acres of just bare dirt with black plastic on it. And they'll be on for about 6 weeks, and then they'll start planting again.
Ooh.
So corn is growing out there, so in the Apopka area. So I am looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to locally grown corn, and that's wonderful. One of the things you can do to get your garden refreshed for the fall is to add mulch. Now, when you add mulch, it's important that you don't cover the crown of the plant or plant it or just pile it all up around the shrub or tree. Okay, so you want to be able to make sure that your plant can breathe correctly, and piling it up too high, if it's too high, the water that it gets put down or the rainfall may not get down to your roots. That's why Dana was saying you want to see the flare at the bottom of the tree or shrub. That's going to tell you that it's not planted too deep. You want to see the crown of the plants that you have just put in the ground, because we do have sandy soils, and we it's going to sink a little bit after you plant it, and it may take about a month to 6 weeks to 2 months for it to sink, but it will then eventually be under the ground and be planted too deep, and then it's going to struggle. It's always going to struggle. You want to make sure that if you have any trees or shrubs that were caught in Idalia's winds and are leaning, you need to straighten them up as soon as possible. Don't let it go another 6 months or a year to the next hurricane season. Anything growing crooked, go ahead and straighten it up and restake it. Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Make sure you guys are checking our website, WFLAOrlando.com. We have really cool prizes that we're giving away, and you can also get really weird news at WFLAOrlando.com.